hey-ho, and what do you know? Welcome, everybody, to another episode of From the Land podcast. And oh, my goodness, we're up to three episodes now. We first had Caitlin Marshall on the show with us. We then had Andy Cleaves on, Andy Lytle, or, you know, he's just Andy. And now, all of a sudden, we've got a third guest now. I mean, at this point, you know, I done K, Andy, I'm like, well, we need to get the 2K family, you know, the pipe layers, you know, full circle. And we couldn't complete that circle. Granted, Sparky, I don't care what you say, you're going to have to be an episode at some point. But we had to get the one and only Clunky himself, Pat Tregoning. Pat, how are you, buddy?
What's up, buddy? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, this has been a long time coming. I mean, you've been a guest on After Further Review in the past. I've been a guest when you've been hosting a Redacted show. No names, please. Right, exactly. Don't worry, I got those episodes for you finally.
We're gonna put that in the vault.
Yeah, we're gonna put it in the vault, never to be heard from again, just for our own personal amusement.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember, like, you know, when I was bringing you on, I was like, how did Pat and I first meet? And I'm trying to even remember. I know it was through Twitter. And I don't think we really first started talking until our PlayStation parties with 2K.
I want to say, because were you with what was the name of that station?
No Static.
Yeah, were you with them when they were downtown?
Yes.
So do you remember when Nick and Steve had a Saturday show?
Kind of.
Okay, so that was like the first time I really got involved with it was, so like, sidebar, like, Nick's the first person I ever met IRL off Twitter.
Yeah.
And he told me, he's like, yo, we have a Saturday show and, you know, you should listen, call in. And ended up being like, that's why I ended up listening. Like, if I was like out and about doing stuff. And
yeah,
that was like, man, I don't know if I think it might've been Twitter and video games at that point.
Yeah. I mean, Redacted show, again, we're not saying the name of that place
anymore. right,
but we may have met through there. I'm trying to remember exactly when, because I've been trying so hard to do it and I feel so guilty because, like, I was at your wedding and everything.
And
I'm like, how do I not remember how I met Pat? I feel like the worst friend ever.
No, don't worry, I don't really remember either, so.
But yeah, Pat and I have known each other for a few years. We played 2K together. He never passed it out of the posts and out to the corner, you clunky son of a gun. Yeah, you were double teamed and everything, and right. You know, you'd score half the time at least. I'll give you that.
Right.
You could have scored 100% of the time, but you know, whatever. It is what it is. But right. This ain't about the 2K memories. Maybe we'll bring the whole gang on here one day just for the fun of it, like a From the Land round table. I don't know. We're still figuring out everything with the show. But anyways, this is about you, us getting to know you, so we can know you and follow you everywhere and also listen to your new pods. Did I say that right? Pods?
I know, right? It's something we're still getting used to.
Wow. This is a weird 2021 to begin with. I mean,
you thought
shit hit the fan before. Nope, it totally did now.
Right.
But anyways, tell us a little bit about you, you know, some early sports memories that you have growing up.
Not particularly related to my pod. Like, mm-hmm. I remember, like, you know, my dad worked downtown, and so it would be Indians games were a common occurrence in the late 90s. And obviously at that point the Browns weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
So the Browns weren't here, but it's funny, like, my grandfather, God rest his soul, he, like, one day he went over and he gave me like two boxes full of VHS tapes, and they were Browns games from like the 80s through 95.
Oh, damn.
And like, it's like Monday Night Football games and all this different stuff. And like, basically in front of, like, to my dad and to me, he goes, he is not rooting for anybody other than Cleveland. He basically said, he goes, he looked at my dad, his son, and was like, I raised you to, you know, I raised you the way I raised you, you know. he is not rooting for anyone other than the Browns. And yeah. Obviously, as a kid, you know, I found other teams, you know, to latch on to, you know. Yep. I loved the Dennis Green Vikings.
Okay.
I love them, you know. As a kid, one of my best friends who lived up the street, he was a Packers fan.
Okay.
So like 90s Brett Favre, Antonio Freeman, you know, Dorsey Levens, Gilbert Brown, yes. All that stuff. Yes. And then the Browns came back and it was, and obviously the Cavs were terrible too. I still remember.
Oh, I don't remember.
I still remember going to Gund Arena back when the seats were blue.
Yes.
I don't remember. I didn't really watch basketball until after Jordan retired the mm-hmm. first time. The second time. And so I don't remember Michael playing with the Bulls. I only have stories. And that's why The Last Dance was so fantastic. Like The Last mm-hmm. Dance is something that I'm going to watch over and over for years.
Oh, same.
It was so well done. And we could do an hour on that show alone.
Yeah.
But I remember I thought Vince Carter was like the coolest cat out there. And my parents took me to a game where the Cavs were playing Vince Carter. I think this was like early 2000s. And I was so hell bent and angry that they lost on a Charles Oakley corner three at the buzzer. And like young me at the time didn't know like clock management rules where like, yeah, the buzzer sounded and the ball was in the air, but like 8 year old me thought the ball had to be through the basket. And I was crying. Like you thought Twitter was bad with people calling conspiracy and corruption. I wanted answers.
Oh like my God. You were
7, 8 year old me wanted answers. We're walking back to the car. I looked at my dad. I was like, no, that's garbage. That's garbage. The ball was not through the basket. He goes, no, you don't understand. The ball has to be out of his hands. And I'm like, no, I don't care. That's still stupid. And I think that kind of set up the fandom in me.
That's when woke Pat was born.
Yeah, right. That kind of set up like, I think my dad always jokes. My dad always told me, he goes, that's when I knew that you were going to like really get into sports mm-hmm. was how like passionate you were about, you know, about a rule that was not even a rule. He kind of said, you know, that's kind of, he knew that's when I was going to get into being a sports fan. And, you know, I was fortunate with my family. I got a lot of access to, St. Vincent, St. Mary basketball due to family mm-hmm. in, you know, in the early late 90s, early 2000s. So
you saw a certain basketball player play.
I got to watch practice. Like, I got to watch practice. I got to watch games. I heard my uncle, who's like one of the biggest, like, I credit him for a lot of high school and college basketball that I really get into because, mm-hmm. you know, he was a former coach and he like, you know, he would tell me, he's like, oh, watch this kid, watch this team. I credit him for a lot. But you know, I think that's kind of what opened me up to high school basketball and then, you know, college as well. And that kind of led to where we were with the pod today and, you know, Kent State's runs, you know, one of my favorite sports memories as a kid was being able to go to the NCAA tournament and seeing Kent State, you know, when they made the run and
I remember that.
And
Antonio Gates.
Yeah, that Sweet 16. To this day, I still say that Sweet 16 game against Pittsburgh. That's what put Gates on the map for NFL teams. And, and you know, unfortunately, you know, Indiana still is making threes to this day.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate, and you know. I my family knew from an early age that this was going to be what I got into.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it.
Yeah.
I mean, like in comparison, you know, for my first Cavs game, I mean, it was, I remember it was still the blue seats, but yeah, that was the Tim Hardaway, Alonzo Mourning Heat teams. Mm. So, like, I was watching those guys kick the Cavs' rear ends.
Oh, yeah.
And I was watching Sean Kemp play, you know, fat Sean Kemp, not like good Sean Kemp. I mean, Kemp was okay back then. Right. And it's funny, as the story goes, the more I've thought about that game, my parents mixed up which Florida team I wanted to go see because my dad hates basketball.
Okay.
He can't stand it. He likes something that's slower paced. That's him.
Yeah.
I get it. I don't mind high pace.
So he likes high school with no shot clock then.
Pretty much, but he didn't really go to the games anymore.
Oh, gotcha. So,
he legitimately just does not like basketball.
That's another pod we could do for.
Oh, trust me. If he was sitting here, he'd be like, well, they should have a windmill in front of the basket. Like, there should be hills on the court. I'm like, Dad, what the bleep are you talking about? He's like, just make it more interesting.
Depending on what gym you go to, that's actually a thing.
Yeah, so. I know. I tried to tell him that. He's like, really? We need to go to that gym? And I'm like, oh, shut up. But like, they mixed up the Florida team I want to go see. And you know this as well as anyone playing with me in 2K. I love Penny Hardaway. Like Penny Hardaway was my guy.
Fitting. That's who I'm watching right now.
Oh, you're watching Memphis. Oh,
yeah, I'm watching that.
I mean, like Penny Hardaway is still one of the few like non-Cleveland jerseys that I would die to get. And I still want those 90s Magic warm-ups because Pat knows as well as anyone the 2K streets, I'd wear those. And you and Kay would be like, why the bleep are you wearing a Magic warm-up jersey? And I'm like, because it's dope as shit.
So let me ask you not to like flip the script, but
no,
like,
go right ahead.
What did you think of the 30 for 30 about Penny and Shaq?
Man, I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was tragic how it ended. To hear like how everything went down and how like Shaq and Penny kind of blew up, you know, their egos.
Yeah.
Right at each other and Magic. I mean, not Magic. But Shaq saying, you know, if we'd stuck together, it probably would have been me and him instead of Kobe and me. And I'm like, yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. If Penny doesn't tear his knee and everything, it would have been you two, you idiot.
Yeah.
Did you not see what you had?
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad for Magic fans. And I've always been like a closet Magic fan. Mm-hmm. One, because of the jerseys, they're dope. Yeah, like even throughout the years, they're dope. But number two, like you had the greatest potential duo in the history of the game. And I say potential, not like it's set in stone. And geez, you know, to have it only be just a couple years and then Shaq via a technicality, you know, in the collective bargaining agreement, become a free agent and, you know, leaves for LA.
Yeah.
It's tragic how that ended. That shouldn't have gone down the way it did, but it is what it is, sadly.
Yeah.
But I will always love those teams. Those were the first teams that introduced me to basketball. And then I saw Michael Jordan and I was like, who the bleep is this guy that always wins? And the more I watch, I was like, this is probably
that was me as a kid with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I hated the Lakers. I was a clock. Okay. So I love Vince Carter, but I always had an infatuation for those Chris Webber King teams.
Yeah.
And I remember, and like, there was one day where, there was one day, and this is kind of like, this also helped a lot, you know, early on was I hated those Laker teams. And like, I think it was when Portland blew that lead in game seven, and mm-hmm. I was young, was so mad. My dad's like, listen, you can hate them all you want, but you got to respect greatness.
Yes.
he goes, you will learn that. He goes, trust me, you will learn that. He goes, if you learn that now, you will appreciate sports as you
know. Oh, yeah. So, like, in retrospect, you know, your basketball is your thing. You know, baseball is my thing.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the Yankees. I hate them with a burning passion of a thousand suns. I have always said to some Yankee fans, whenever I've met them, when I was, like, at Yankee Stadium, the old one, they said, well, you're a Cleveland fan. They were playing Baltimore. So I was safe that night.
Right.
And they're like, well, you know, do you like any Yankees? I said, I mean, I kind of respect Jeter, but I still don't like him. I said, I respect the hell out of Mariano Rivera. I think he's the greatest closer ever. And immediately they were like, oh my God, you like Mariano Rivera. You're one of us. Welcome. You know, you feel welcome here. You respect us. It's like, I've learned that over time that even if you're a road team, if you actually respect them, you don't have to like them. They don't expect you to like them.
Right.
But if you respect them, you know, they make your time much more enjoyable on the road, because like I was in Detroit, I've been to old and new Tiger Stadium, always been treated with respect. Seattle, oh my God. It, like, that was one of the best experiences of my life, because I was like second row. It was Ichiro's rookie year.
Okay.
And Mariner fans were around me. I think they're playing like Kansas City or something. And they're like, you're from Cleveland, you're here. And I said, I'm here to see Ichiro. And they're like, yep, you get it. And it was like, yeah, yeah, I'm here to see him and only him. Right. And they're like, we'll take it. We'll take it. Right. So, but that's always been like a really cool thing. Like you and me, in terms of our friendship, you went to Kent State. I went to Akron. We obviously have a rivalry, but I think you and me can say we respect each other in terms of the rivalry. We don't hate each other for, yeah, we'll take jabs here and there. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's a rivalry without taking jabs at each other?
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, it makes the rivalry much more fun for us. Like, for example, in football, you know, I know how bad Akron is at football. I'm like, how much are you going to murder us by today? You know?
Right.
At least I know we suck. But if we win, I go, whoa, oh my God, it happened. Kent State, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
and you're fine with taking the L that day. But nine times out of 10, I'm going to take that L in football and basketball. Right. It's a little bit more hostile, but you know.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah.
But anyways, speaking of basketball, you know, obviously you're probably, I mean, I've said a million times on Twitter, on my pods, you know as much college basketball as anyone I know. Mm-hmm. What drew you to that? Obviously, you said your uncle being a former coach. Was it him? Were there any games growing up that stuck out to you?
So it's funny. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it last night, and I was like going back and looking through stuff. Hearing him talk about games, like, that obviously had a big impact. But I had to go back. I was going back through old brackets, and the first one that I really remember, and this is what, and I think what got me into college basketball was the tournament itself.
Yep.
So the first tournament I remember, and I'm looking at the bracket right now, was 1999.
Whoa!
That was the first one I remember. And that was the year Duke, like, everyone thought Duke was like, it's kind of like how this year's is, where it's kind of like how tournament fields in the past have been, where it's like everyone says it's the overall number one seed, it's nobody else.
Yeah.
And Connecticut, in their first, like, in their first title game, first Final Four, knocked off Duke.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But here's the thing. Like, the championship was great. Like, you know, Rip Hamilton was the MOP in that game, and it was Jim Calhoun's first title. But, like, what blew my mind, and this is kind of what, like, the first time I really got into this tournament, was – the fact that the Sweet 16 had number 12 seed Missouri State taking on Duke.
Oh,
and like, I remember looking at my dad, because, like, obviously, you know, both of my parents, March Madness came around, you know, they got a bracket, and I'd ask nicely, and they'd chip in an extra $5, give me a bracket, and let me fill it out. You know, like, I think my very first bracket, I might have finished dead last. Because 8-year-old me insisted that Kent State was winning the whole thing, and they lost.
Oh, there you go.
They lost in the first round to John Chaney, you know, God rest his soul.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I remember, like, just being so dumbfounded and so intrigued that a school that no, like I couldn't tell you what conference they had played in 99. Mm-hmm. You know, that of Southwest Missouri State was like taking on Duke, and it wasn't the first round. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was so intrigued by that. And I remember after that championship game, I remember waking up and looking at my dad. I'm like, all right, cool. When's the next game? He goes, the tournament's over. I'm like, what? Tournament's over? What do you mean the tournament's over? So like growing up as a kid, like I really got into the tournament every year. And then as I got older and as the years went by, I felt myself like watching before the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And like just like the me like starting to watch college basketball, like the start date more or less got farther and farther and farther away from the tournament till before I knew it. Like, I mean, you know, now I'm watching early season tournaments in November.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm watching, you know, when Zion was at Duke, I was watching Duke take on universities in Canada and beating them by like, and it was just something. I always got intrigued by the tournament, and definitely, you know, the fact that, you know, the idea that, you know, 12 seeds and stuff like that. I mean, shit, my lifetime, I never thought we'd see a 16 seed.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. You know, how long? Like,
yeah. Like, I never thought in my life I would ever see a 16 seed. Like, it was just something in my mind where it was like, yeah, 16 seeds don't beat ones.
Mm-hmm. And then Virginia couldn't score, and that was history.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Virginia pulled a Virginia.
And then they won the tournament, and then they won the title the next year.
Well, that's why I went with them. I was like, you want to, after that embarrassment, they have to win it. And you want to in on my bracket that they win it. Everybody thought, you're crazy. They're not going to win it all. And I was like, no, they have to at this point. After that embarrassment, they don't have a freaking choice anymore. And then they won it. And I kind of put my feet up, and I'm like, yeah, you want to kiss my feet now, guys?
And they're right. Like, nope. And you know what? It's funny. Like, I'm looking at that bracket from 99. And like, this is what's mind blowing about it. In the Sweet 16, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 double digit seeds.
Wow.
So you had Missouri State. I couldn't tell you any. I couldn't name you one player. Purdue, I probably couldn't name you one player. Oklahoma, still couldn't name you a player. Miami, Ohio had Zerbiak. That was the last time the MAC got two
teams. Oh my god, Wally World.
That was the last time the MAC got two teams. And then a first year head coach, Mark Few at Gonzaga.
Wow. That is wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something, you know, and then it also helped in 99. Like, obviously, it's now vacated. Ohio State made the Final Four.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, obviously now vacated, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like watching like Scooney Penn at the time at Ohio State, like, and then later Michael Redd. And
I mean, it could be worse. You could be Michigan, the Fab Five are banned for like 30 years.
Except one's a coach. He found a loophole.
Yeah. Well, Howard's the only one that honestly was clean. So,
yeah, exactly.
If you watch that Fab Five doc, he's the only one that's clean because Michigan was the only one there for him. Yeah. When I think it was his grandmother that passed the day he signed. So it's like, you know, he didn't need the money. It was just like, he already knew, like,
he was talented.
He was smart. He was more than capable of doing it. Right. Not saying the others weren't smart. It was just like, Howard was the true leader of that squad. So yeah. Like, he acted like it.
I agree. Yeah.
And that's why he's done an outstanding job at Michigan. I mean,
oh, 100%.
I mean, I mean, you and I have talked about my buddy Anthony who played for Coach Izzo. I mean, first day, you know, the first day that was announced, we were joking. We were like, man, this could either be really good or really bad. And he said, it's going to be bad. I said, no, I think this is the perfect hire. It's going to bring back that Fab Five mojo back. And he's going to be able to recruit. He's like, I don't know.
I was curious to see what he would be able to do.
And yeah, I was curious too. I thought it was the right hire, but
and you know, like, it's funny. Like I like tweeted this poll just before like we started doing this, and it got me wondering. And it's not even like a matter. Like I wondered who, And it's not even, it doesn't even have to do with Juwan, because Juwan, like, his success is already out there. You know, it's no contest. I wondered, like, between Penny at Memphis and then another former athlete we saw get hired, Deion at Jackson State, it, like, made me wonder, like, between those two, I was like, I wonder who's going to have the most success between those two.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and I think the big question with Howard is how long can he stay at Michigan before jumping to the NBA?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big question with him. Yeah. But the one thing I forgot to mention when we talked about early brackets is
yeah.
a story I have that I think, I don't know if I've told you it before, okay. but my first bracket was, oh boy, it was 2005. I think my sophomore year in high school. Now, granted, the whole school knew this was going to happen. So they put a strict rule, no bracket betting, period. So my one buddy, I will keep his name quiet, but then again, it's been so long, who gives a shit? But he walked around and we actually had lunch together. He's like, Alex, I'm doing this bracket thing. You want to be in? I said, isn't it against the rules? Aren't we going to get suspended if we're caught? He said, we're not going to get caught. Just here, it's a $5 buy-in. Do you have five on you? I said, yeah. He said, here's a bracket. Fill it out. I never did this before. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the entire 2005 college basketball bracket.
That was, let me think here. I know. That was the first year of Thad. So, and they didn't play the tournament, but they won the last game of the season, which would have been against Darren Williams, Illinois. So that was North Carolina, Illinois. Yep.
Yes, it was. That's right. Because I had North Carolina winning it all.
No. The midseason form.
Yes. So I had North Carolina winning it all. And I'm trying to pull up the Elite Eight. I think
I got you right here. Hang on. I got you.
No, I have it right now. I remember I had Michigan State making it, which got me, because I was a Michigan State fan. Thank you, Mateen Cleaves. I had North Carolina making it. I remember that because I had them winning it all. I think it was I'm trying to remember. Who did Louisville beat to get to that point? Oh, they were in Washington's bracket. I think I had Elite Eight. Wisconsin. No, it was Wisconsin. Louisville beat West Virginia. Oh my god, wow. Wow. Michigan
State had Shannon Brown.
Oh, that's right. I had Texas Tech making a run. That was Bobby Knight, Texas Tech, and I was in love with that team. I had them going to the Final Four, which everybody looked at me going like, yeah, right, they're not going to the Final Four. Once they got to the Sweet 16, they're like, oh shit, Alex might get a 4 out of 4 correct, because I think I had the other Final Four team there as well. If Texas Tech had won that Sweet 16 game, I would have won the entire thing. I was in second place behind this one girl I knew, and she won, I think it was like $150.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like 30 people got involved, and the school never knew.
A little ring out there.
All yeah, right. So like the school never knew, and then word got around this was happening. So then the next year, the school puts people in March in the cafeteria where this all went down, and they were like policing us. It's so, and the crazy part is, we got away with it again.
Oh my gosh.
I did shitty as hell in the next year, but I didn't care. I was like, yo, I'm living on the edge. F it. I need to look cool for this. And everybody was just like, we did not know how we got away with it. We just did. It was crazy. I mean, I loved it. Yeah. And I miss those days a little bit. I wish I'd won that one year. That'd been so cool. Though I think it was a good thing, because I would have flashed that $150 around, and they'd been like, hey, Alex, how'd you get $150? No comment. Alex, go to the principal's office. Oh, darn.
Yeah,
right. I'm screwed. So it was probably in the best interest of everyone. But anyways, moving away from college basketball for a minute, let's go and talk about your Twitter. Because I'll be honest, you post either some of the, and it's a compliment, okay? I want you either or either your stuff is totally toxic or totally funny. There is no in between with you, Clunky. Yeah. And
well, they're not funny too, but you know.
Yeah, there is not funny, but you know, it's funny to some people, not funny to some.
Right.
But if it's not funny, probably it's then toxic. but honestly, the pipe layers, our Twitter accounts are all that way when we're at our peak. And that's what we take pride in. But anyways, we need to talk about the backstory of the now famous and most overused meme in the world. Your LeBron meme. Now, first and foremost, this was 100% you, right?
I mean, I yes. I didn't know it existed before then.
I'm just making sure because everyone says you stole it from someone.
Right. I mean, show me who I stole it from, and I'll happily admit I stole it. But I never knew that, you know, that was a thing before then, you know. But no, that was 100% me, yeah.
Like, what was going through your mind as that thing started to go viral?
Well, it's funny backstory. So a Cleveland media member tweeted at me, added me, and said, "Wow, that tweet took off." And I replied. I said, "Most rewarding thing to ever come out of waiting in line at Taco Bell."
Well, it did. Is the media member? Did it rhyme with Ben Larman?
No, actually.
Oh, it wasn't? Oh.
No.
Darn it. It sounds like something he would do, so.
Yeah, no. It was somebody else. But it's funny. They were talking about the seed. I think they were talking about the seeding.
Yeah, one seed, two seed.
And I like sat there and like Cavs weren't the one or the two, and I forget who it was. Somebody's like, oh, they might be in trouble, blah, blah, blah. And I literally, like, I said that under my breath while I'm in line at Taco Bell. I was like, one seed, two seed, sesame seed, poppy seed. It don't mean shit to me. And I sat there and I was like, that's kind of a tweet.
Yeah, that is a tweet.
I was like, oh, whatever. I'll tweet it. It'll get like 3 retweets and like 5 likes, whatever. And I'm like sitting at home. And I'm talking to my now wife and like my phone just every minute, just bing.
Bing.
And I was like, all right. And like, I didn't realize what was going on. I was like, all right, I'm going to turn this on silent. That's bugging me. And then I looked down later and it's like 35 people have retweeted your tweet and 75 people have favorited your tweet. And I'm like, wait, what?
that was only just a taste of what.
And it literally got to the, I kid you not, I got to the point where like my phone battery couldn't keep up. So my phone, like in like a matter of like 2 minutes, my phone's at like 3%, and it got to the point I had to literally sleep with my phone in do not disturb because I had to work the next morning.
Oh my god!
And then I woke up and like I woke up and it was like 175 people retweeted your tweet, and then by the end of the next day it was like 500 people. I'm like, what's going on? And then I open up Facebook and I see the meme on Facebook from somebody that knew me who posted it but never knew it was, oh, I know who it was. It was somebody I went to college with.
Oh my god.
She's now a teacher in the Cincinnati public schools, and we keep in touch now every now and then, and she sat there, she goes, okay, this is funny. And I messaged her, I was like, I commented on it, I said, what if I told you that was me who made that? And she's like, wait a minute. And then one of my other buddies who knew my Twitter from Facebook, he goes, oh my god, he goes, Pat, did you really make that? I was like, yeah. He goes, that is hilarious. So all of a sudden it got picked up and I like shared it on Facebook, and before I knew it, that's when like even my family was like, wait a minute, you met, like my sister saw that and she's like, did you really make that? I was like, yeah. She goes, that is hilarious.
It was I remember seeing, I was like, ah, oh, you mother.
Yeah, but that was like I say, for my athletic career, I peaked very early. like my Twitter, you know, like my Twitter career, I peaked very early.
Well, I peaked early too, so don't worry about that.
You know, like I peaked early in mundane sports. Like, you know, I in high school, like I played men's volleyball, and that was my thing, and I discovered I was good at it, but I didn't play early enough to really get any traction with it. But but yeah, with Twitter too, I and it's funny, a friend of mine who saw that, he's a musician, he's getting a doctorate in at Cincinnati right now, and he went viral by a music website because of a video of him practicing a movement from an orchestral piece, and his chair squeaked along to the beat.
Oh wow.
And he didn't realize it, and so he realized it halfway, like he went viral for that in a totally different realm. And he messaged me, he messaged me and he goes, do I have an application for the peaked early on social media?
Yes.
But yeah. Yeah,
I think the closest I ever came to peaking on Twitter was that the media in this city with Baker and all that shit. Oh man.
Yeah.
I had the similar thing. Like, it was like every time I look, people are retweeting, commenting, liking, and I'm like, what the frig is going? I got to turn my phone off. I can't keep up.
Right.
And in terms of peaking too early, my radio career peaked when 3 Deep went off the air. Once it went off the air, I was done. There was no way. I owe those three everything, though. Anyways, getting away from that a little bit, let's get to know a little bit about you, because I know this in terms of knowing you as long as I have.
Yeah.
You actually teach a little bit. You teach a little bit of high school band. Tell us, how did you like get into doing that?
Okay, so yeah, no, this is a good... And this is why I kind of wanted to go on this pod too, because I'll be honest, maybe 10 people on Twitter know what I do for a living.
Yeah.
But that's about it. I really keep to myself. I really got into it because from my mom, and she taught, she always made famous. She got a music ed degree from Ohio State, but didn't play a brass instrument. So she was never in the band, but that's kind of, you know, like she would take me down to go see them play and stuff like that. And between that and watching, like just spending a lot of time in her classroom, like she graduated college in 76 and got her first teacher. She taught from 77 until she passed in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like, just watching that, I was like, that's what I want to do. But it's funny, initially I got, and you know, this kind of ties into, you know, what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I initially wanted to be a journalist.
Yeah.
And then I realized, my mom looked at me and she goes, well, you know, just so you know, she goes, journalists don't get 3 months a year off like I do. And you also start in like a town that nobody knows, like where it, like you start in a podunk town doing a podunk assignment. And I sat there that day and I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. So I kind of knew in high school what I wanted to do. Just kind of went into it, and Ohio State was my dream school. That obviously didn't come to fruition, and you know, I kind of went to Kent State, and you know, my sister got this. It's funny, my sister does the same thing I do. She teaches elementary school. You know, my mom taught everything from elementary school to high school to even before, younger than elementary school, like preschool, and you know, it's kind of like it's what our family does. We call it the family business, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I got into that, and you know, I went to Kent State and got my degree, and just kind of got into it, and you know, rest has kind of been you know, rest is history, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's awesome what you do. I mean, I think I've told you this before. if I haven't, I apologize. I don't know if I have or haven't, but I've always said, like, if what I'm doing now, and I still keep a lot of what I do private outside of this, because I feel like no one really needs to know. But you know, we don't need to talk about it.
Right.
But anyways, one of the things I've always had as like a backup plan would be to go right back to school. And I have always said my knowledge of US history, God, I'd love to be a US history teacher.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I love talking about history. I love, you know, watching documentaries always. I love listening to alternate history. What if this happened? What if that happened?
Yeah.
I actually recently found a YouTube channel, which is literally all alternate history. And
oh, there you go.
Half of it blows my mind. And yeah. The other half is like, no, I don't think it would be that way. And here's why. But I like challenging my mind in that way. Mm-hmm. So I always am like, you know, if all fails, I feel like I could do that. So that's always been like a backup plan for me. And also, I mean, and I don't know in terms of you, but I feel like, you know, shaping younger generations' minds and the rewards of that, I feel like would be huge.
Yeah.
What is it like for you in terms of that?
It's cool. Like I always tell like my seniors every year, I try to tell them and, you know, keep me updated with what you're doing. You know, I got kids that I got kids that went into the military, have done extremely well in the military. And, you know, I have kids that have pursued college athletics and do really well. I have students that work for, you know, that work for like startup tech companies. It's so cool to see like what a lot of my students are up to nowadays, and being able to know that, you know, they still, like, if I run into them, you know, if I run into them, you know, they still talk about the memories that they had, like, with what we were doing. Like, you know, it's funny, I ran into a graduate a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. they still talk about, albeit it wasn't that long ago, it was 2 years ago, they still talk about the year that, you know, the school I work for won its first outright league title in 30 years and mm-hmm. and nearly knocked off Akron Hoban in the state playoffs. Like, you know, and they still talk about that memory, you know, it's just being able to have that positive effect on kids and whatnot. And, you know, I'm as enthusiastic as it comes and with them. And, you know, I always tell them, you know, I always tell them, and a lot of people jokingly say I sound like, you know, an athletics coach when I say this. I'm like, if you put the work in, we're going to have fun. Like, that's, you know, I try to really instill like a mindset, like an attitude mindset, like an attitude. And, you know, just I try to have a good culture and with the kids I interact with, and, you know, and that just breeds positivity and you know, a hardworking mindset, and it helps mold them for, you know, what they do today.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you do all that during the day, and yet when we get on the PlayStation parties, you're toxic at night. Okay. That makes sense. Used it all up during the day.
Well, but here's the thing. So here's the thing though. I really enjoy, like, the kids really like, you know, like my first like part-time teaching like opportunity, I graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a cruise. And I came back and I got hired part-time at a school that is home to Brian Rybiski. I'll let you look it up. And yeah. And I got hired, and I started like a month later. And I walked in, and like I literally sat down, and they were like, the kids were blown away. They're like, you know, students were like, you look like you're 10. And I'm like, I know. I would get stopped in the hallway. They're like, are you a student here? I'm like, no. Yeah, no, that's sorry. But, you know, just approaching, like, I would approach the students and just, I have students who play video games, and like, yeah, I talk to them about video games. I have students that, you know, like if a student's favorite team, you know, I'll call students out every so often where, like, if I'm like walking up to the practice, if I'm driving the golf cart up to the practice field and I hear somebody go, "Oh, the Timberwolves are going to make a playoff run," I stop the golf cart. I back up and I go, what did you just say? So I think that's what, you know, I can relate. You know, I try to, some educators, they really, and this is kind of like, not to like kind of promo on education, but it's some teachers that we have in education, like they don't try to relate to the students,
I had that a lot.
You know, they don't relate to the students. They don't really ask, like, they don't take interest in the students' interest. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's always served me well, is that, like, you know, like, I'll talk about, you know, I had a kid who's graduated now, he loved MLB the Show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, dude, it's the best game. And I think I was in the middle of like a 12 game losing streak online. And I was looking up, I'm like, the game stinks. What are you talking about? And, that's, I think, what's always served me well, is, you know, taking interest in students' interests and, you know,
I totally agree with that.
It's undervalued.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, for me growing up, you know, I've said before on the show, being autistic and everything, and not being where I am now, you know, I needed teachers that could relate with me. I mean, my one music teacher, I had two music teachers, one picked favorites, but she did teach me a lot, God rest her soul now. But the other one, he related to me, he encouraged me. I remember when I was trying to go to school for vocal performance, he went to, he knew the choir director at BW, and he's like, go on a tour at BW, just trust me on it. I will tell people every day, I was set and sold to go to BW, and I felt like I had an in to get there, which is honestly one of the hardest programs to get into in the country. I later learned, had I have auditioned, I probably would have made it, which kind of sucked, but the cost was just like too much. It was so freaking high and it wasn't worth it. And Akron was still tough, and it was not an easy audition process. I felt like, you know, I did not do well, but my one teacher always kept saying, he said, if you don't believe you have the talent, then something's wrong with you. And I got the call and they said, you're in. And I'm like, what? And they said, yeah, you're in, you're in the program. I'm like, oh wow, okay, awesome. And, you know, he was so happy for me. And I remember there was one instance senior year, it was our last concert. So again, politics, the one teacher played politics. I've never really forgiven her because I don't think she let me be who I knew I could be. And she held me back and it kind of stunted me. But it was our final show and we were doing a Motown theme. For our show. And she said, you know, pick a song that you want to do that's Motown related. So I did Lionel Richie's Hello. And the first piece that she does with me, she's like, okay, it sounds great. So we're not going to have you do the whole song. We're only going to give you 1 minute. Like one freaking minute. And I'm like, wait, what? And all of a sudden, we just, you know, go into this argument. And my one teacher says, you know, this can't stand. Alex has earned this. Yeah. And she finally conceded to 2 minutes, which I'm like, just give me the full goddamn song. Right. But she didn't do it. In fact, when they gave out their awards for like best choir performer, they gave it to someone else, politics, and he pulled me aside and he's like, you didn't get it. And I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, you didn't get it. And I'm like, why? He said, you know why, politics. I'm like, this is BS. So when they did it in front of the school, I pulled him aside and I said, I cannot control what the student body does when you don't say my name after this. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, I've already told a couple and they're going to boo the living hell out of you. And when they announce the R person's name, oh my gosh, you would have thought, okay, who's the worst heel? You would have thought Roman Reigns heel came out. Like, everyone hates him to begin with. Now he's a bad guy, so you hate him even more. You would have thought Roman Reigns as a heel right. walked out on stage. Right. And they were booing. And what do? They all look at me. They're all like, what did you do? And I'm like, I didn't do freaking anything. You did this to yourself. So, but he was always great with me. He always pushed me to be better. I remember when he first heard my first song, he was so proud and everything. He's like, you finally overcame everything that you said you were going to overcome. And it was great. And you know, I wish I could have done more. And okay, I'll break it here. I'm actually working on two new songs that may be released in the next year.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. The first one, oh boy, I'll tell you the small backstory on this for the fun of it. So 2019, I was kind of, she doesn't listen to the pod, so I can totally say this. And besides, she knows, and I won't say her name. But there was this girl I was talking to, and it went on for a while, and it didn't end the way I thought, even though I thought like it was all there. So I actually texted her like 2 months ago. I said, you know, I've been writing this song, and it's about you, and it's about all this. And she's like, oh. I said, do I have your permission to write this? Like, we're friends now. So like, I wanted to get clearance. And she's like, do you say my name? I'm like, no. And she's like, okay, open season, unleash. I'm like, seriously? And she's like, right. Unleash, go ahead. I give you my full blessing. I said, fair warning. Some of it, there's a one part in the song, which is a total lie, but it's for effect. And she's like, open season. You have my blessing. I'm like, damn, okay, you're not gonna like it. And she's like, go right ahead. And the song's called Phantom Love, so it's like, nice. Oh man, I'm really excited about it.
Nice.
But yeah, let's get away from all that stuff now. We need to talk about your pod, the Possession Arrow. First and foremost, why did it take you so long to do this?
I don't know, you know,
because you're a clunky, you know what, that's why.
No. It was like, I know, like the timing was never right, you know.
That's fair.
The timing was never right. Like, I don't know. It was a mixture of like, I could have done this a long time ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I just never really felt like, I never really felt like the timing was ever there.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And it was something where I was like, I don't want to start something and then like just not care after like two episodes.
That's very fair.
Yeah. You know, and it, you know, it's funny. And, you know, I was talking to Caitlin about it and she was like, yeah, you need to do a pod. So the next day I'd be like, so when are you going to do a pod? I'm like, I don't know, timing. And then like the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, it's the timing's kind of now. Like,
yep.
You know, the timing's kind of, you know, this is the time to do it. And, you know, I did it.
I never told you this story because it never just, the timing was never right to do it. But like back in the redacted days, when we had the station, everything, I almost pulled you and Kay aside and I almost just, for the heck of it, I was like, you guys need to do a show.
Yeah.
Like I alone, and we'll get to Time of Possession in a second. But like, I wanted to pull you both aside because one, you had done fill-ins to host a show before on that show. And yeah. You'd always done a good job. I always thought like, you know, you were more than capable of doing it. And I almost pulled you in KSI and said, look, I know you're with them, but you can have a different name and just post it on the website for him and they'll be happy. And yeah, was I looking out for the growth of my station? Yes, as I should have been. But more importantly, I felt like, man, if you two did a pod, holy cow, that it would be total chaos. It would be toxic. It would be fun, but it would be good. It would be really, really good. So like, first and foremost, I'm happy you finally got into it. But like, in terms of like the possession arrow, there aren't that many college basketball pods out there.
Exactly.
You show me like one in particular.
Yeah.
Done by CBS.
Yeah. That's like kind of where I get a lot of inspiration from. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they put out like 2-3 a week, and that's a lot. Like, that's where I get a lot of inspiration from, just cause I mean, they do such an incredible job. And, you know, like I get inspiration from them. Like, what's the other one? Titus and Tate. They do a really good podcast, Mark Titus and Tate Frazier, and you know Rob Doster does a really good one. I followed Rob Doster for years before, you know, when he was writing for publications, and that's another good one. And you know, but there's not a lot, you know. And even to put it on in like a local perspective, it's a Brownstown. I get that. But there, I mean, there's no, like out here, it is Browns baseball and then respective Locked On podcasts.
Yes.
But there's nothing for college hoops.
Nothing.
And I kind of like thought that's what kind of made me think about it. I was like, you know, there's a niche here where I could do it. And you know, I've been so fortunate. Like like I said on my pod, we broke 100 downloads in 7 episodes. Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I've been so fortunate, and you know, it's cool. Like, think about the future plans. Like, you know, I told myself, like, long term, I really want to get a foundation set before I start trying to get guests, get people, and you know, like, if a certain team wins the Horizon League, I already have a guest lined up. And, and you know, if you know, and just like going forward, and you know, a lot of the feedback, I've received incredible feedback about it too. And that's been like the big thing, is, you know, people that have told me, they're like, you know, I don't really follow hoops, but you break it down to a level in which, like, you don't get super technical about it. You sit there, like, and that's how when I started the pod, I said, I'm not going to sit here and get super technical, super analytical. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you what you need to know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's some people out there that, like, they are heavy in the analytics, or like offense, you know, defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency, adjusted tempo. And I'm like, listen, I'm going to give you who's good. I'm going to do some digging on some things and try to come up with some, like, I'm not going to spew hot takes for 45 minutes.
No,
I'm not going to do that, but it's going to be a lot of, you know, here's what you need to know. This team, you know, like, this team does really well with this. This team doesn't, and you know, these things to watch. And it's even like, you know, I've like one of my last pods, I talked about the Sun Belt, because, you know, I talked about the Sun Belt because I saw a really good story that a publication did about one of the teams in the Sun Belt, and like, I'm like talking about, I wanted to broaden the horizons of everybody. Some people aren't going to like college basketball, and that's fine. I can't change your mind. I can't change your mind. If you choose to watch it on a Sunday because there's nothing on, I can at least help you understand what you're watching, who you're
looking for.
You know, that's the thing. I'm not here to win over fans, because some people, you know, that's the kind of person I am, where I'm very locked in to what I like and what I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But if you choose to watch it, I'm able to help you, you know what you're looking at.
Exactly. And I'm kind of the same with as you, like, in baseball. Like, the thought has crossed my mind to do a baseball centric podcast, because you know me and you know how much I know about the game and how much I study. Like, literally, I think it was this past week, my Bible came out, which is the Baseball America Prospect Handbook, which I need to go get. Fortunately, the place where I get my haircut, there's like a Barnes and Noble right there, and I'll just walk in, I'll grab it afterwards. And that's probably what I'm gonna do. But it, like, I've thought of doing that and breaking it down, and you know me in terms of like the analytics, like, you know, I talk about exit velocity to you and Kay, like, as if I'm a broken record, you know, and I talk about how fascinated I am with that OPS plus, you know, all that stuff. But you are right, like, our basis and our minds think alike in terms of you in college basketball, me in baseball. We see it. We don't just look at a stat sheet and say, well, he can, you know, run up the court in, you know, 2 seconds. You know, I know it's not possible, but we're
I know what you mean.
But, or like, this guy runs from home the first in 3.5 seconds. So, oh my gosh, he's the next big thing. It's not that. It's like, we know it when we see it. Like, how long have I been telling you about, you know, Kumar Rocker, you know, out of Vanderbilt? Like, two years. Because I'm like, I know it when I see it. I don't need to see the, you know, the other stats, you know. Everyone says, oh, his control isn't that great. It's like, yeah, but do you see where just the ball starts and where it goes? Like, you see it. And it's like, that's the one thing I always respected about you with college basketball and why I'm excited for you to have this pod. You break it down obviously better than anyone else that I know of. And trust me, I have a former college basketball player giving me advice.
Right.
I mean,
well, and it's like, I'm, you know, a lot, you know, it's like my buddy told me, you know, and it's funny. And the, one of the things that kind of like helped me like really start this podcast is that I'm finally a homeowner. Like before, like when I could have started it, I lived in a split level with a neighbor above me. So I, you know, I don't want to sit there and like, you know, talk my head off for 45 minutes twice a week and just annoy my neighbors. And, you know, I'm a homeowner. And I'm very fortunate with, you know, my wife's schedule. My wife goes to bed, you know, my wife's up at 4:45 every day. So she's asleep by 8:15 and I can just come right down to my basement, plug my computer and get my notebook, get whatever I need, hit record and just sit there and cut one.
And
you know, it's probably the only good thing that's come out of COVID is that I can be able to record a podcast from my house.
Exactly. And the nice thing about COVID is like, in terms of just like sitting back and putting everything into perspective, whether it be life or things, we just have more time for that right now. And I can imagine that's a, like before everything, I mean, I know your schedule and everything, you've had more time to put a lot of things in perspective and put more time and effort into scheduling things out, which, you know, I can imagine that was a big reason why you hadn't done it before. So I'm really excited for you for it. But that ain't the only pod you're working on right now. Time of Possession, which is a combination of Crunch Time with Caitlin and The Possession Arrow. So you and Kay hosting a pod together. Now, first and foremost, you and Kay have been friends longer than I've known you, at least I think.
I met Kay first.
So you guys have been like best friends forever. What is it like starting a podcast with a close friend like Kay?
It's nothing really. What's the best way to put it? Like
Kay's like, I'm listening.
Right. And I think Kay would say this too. Like it's, you know, I know how to say it. It's a lot of people that, you know, like when I got married, for example, a lot of people like the day after like we got married was like, how's married life, blah blah blah, and I'm like, the same as it was before we got married. You know, like it, like getting doing this podcast with Kay, like nothing's really like changed. You know, it's like we basically take our normal conversations and we're like, all right, let's hit the record button and see where it goes. Like I'll be honest with you, so like to take you behind the curtain, by the way, episode one's out, go check it out.
Go check it out.
We talked NFL and it occurred like towards the end of the podcast, so I'm recording like right now I'm recording and I'm watching college basketball. I just watched Houston went on a buzzer beater, beat Memphis, and
now Penny, no.
And you know, now I'm watching, you know, the Missouri Valley Championship, Loyola, Chicago, and Drake. When I recorded that episode with Caitlin, I was watching Duke, Georgia Tech, because both teams were on the bubble and I thought the loser was going to probably play themselves off the bubble. And Georgia Tech won that game. And it occurred to me I knew we were still recording, but I remember looking at Caitlin. I was like, why is EJ Manuel on my television? And she's like, wait, what? You know, like that's just,
yes, I remember, because we were on the PlayStation party.
and I'm like sitting here, I was like, I don't know if it's just that I've never watched the ACC network, but why is EJ Manuel on a show talking about Duke Georgia Tech basketball? I'm not here for that opinion.
Yeah, first round bust to the Buffalo Bills.
That's not what I'm looking for. And you know, that's just the beauty of like working with someone like Caitlin, is that just like we will talk through it. We will talk through, like, you know, topics. We have topics we talk about. I've been on Crunch Time with Caitlin many times. And but at times, like, that's the beauty of our pod, is that just we can just throw out a name and just start talking about it.
Yeah. And that's perfect for you guys. I mean, like, yeah. You two are some.
It flows really easy.
Oh yeah, you guys in the play. Like guys, just to pull you behind the curtain a little bit. When we play online together, I mean, these two can go on a tangent about shit, and it's funny as hell. So the fact that you guys are finally doing a pod warms my heart that everybody is going to get to hear, you know, what I hear in the past. Now it's becoming more nightly because of NASCAR, thank God. But like, on a more nightly basis, like it was in the past when we used to play 2K, you guys would go on tangents daily. Then there would be times where I would chime in, or Sparky would chime in, or even Andy would chime in and say something funny. And God, I think you guys just need to bring in the whole crew for a show. Just find a way to make it work. Like do a reunion show and just give us the rundown round table. You want to what? I'm going to make a suggestion. We're going to do time of possession, Browns, preview edition,
okay,
featuring the pipe layers reunited. Andy will have a Browns pod by the time this shows up. I'll have a Browns, I will have announced a Browns pod details. Yeah. You know, if you haven't figured it out, we'll come at the end of the show. But yeah, I mean, I think that'd be a killer show, because God, that the chaos and toxic nature of that show would just be gold.
Well, and it's funny too, like some of us know things, like she knows more about stuff than about certain things than what I know about. And like, I know, you know, she's one of the people, like, in particular, like, she's told me, she's like, I still think college basketball sucks. And don't get me wrong, the NCAA,
I thought she was a lifelong college basketball
fan. Don't get me wrong, the NCAA is a joke.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna be the first to tell you. Like, if you want to know why it's a joke, go look up why the loser, the potential loser of the Atlantic Sun Championship, the potential winner could not make the NCAA tournament. Go look that up. That might be something we talk about in my next pod, because it shows how blind the NCAA can be. But there's stuff that, like, we talk about that, you know, that there's stuff I can talk about that she doesn't know a lot about, and there's stuff that she can talk about that I don't know a lot about. Like, you know, I hearken back to the episode we did during the pandemic, and there was no sports going on, and we talked about, it was on Crunch Time with Caitlin. Go back and check it out. It's gotta go way, way back, a couple months in the hopper, about a year actually. And it was best teams to never win a championship.
Ooh.
And we went like, and it occurred, and I came up with the, I had come up with the idea, and I pitched it to her, and it was like, we brought it up because it was in the middle of The Last Dance when that was airing. And like, it was the episode that I saw that made me think about it was when they talked about playing Barkley in the Suns in the finals.
Oh my gosh.
And then when they were talking about playing Gary Payton in the Sonics in the finals. And like, I went back and looked at it. I was like, man, that team was kind of stacked.
The Sonics especially. Oh my God.
Well, like both of those teams were kind of stacked. And I pitched that idea to her and she's like, damn, that's kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
You know,
you guys play off each other very well.
Yeah, we do. And that's another thing. Like, we play off each other very well. And a part of that is we've known each other as long as we have. And, and you know, I appreciate about the pod is that our conversation flows very easy.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for those of you who haven't listened, you definitely should. I've openly said this to Pat and Kay. I think we're definitely bringing them both on for a From the Land podcast episode. To have them both on at once, so you guys can get to know their chemistry and like maybe stories of how they met or any toxic stories they may have on each other, you know, that they won't say on their show because it's more sports centric.
Oh, we got those.
Oh, we got plenty of stories.
That's true.
Yes, we got plenty of them. But yeah, and obviously I can tell you guys have big plans for it. I'm really excited about it. Which now effectively leads us to how we end every show, which is our rapid fire segment.
All right,
so here we go. We're going to start with your favorite movie.
Godfather 1.
Ooh, it's on Paramount Plus now.
I'm not getting Paramount Plus, but
don't.
Godfather 1, I still say, is the best movie of all time.
I can buy that.
And it's funny. I actually have the Blu-ray trilogy.
Ooh, there you go.
I have the extended edition Blu-ray trilogy, which
we don't acknowledge the third. The
movie's 3 hours, so I mean, I don't know really. How much more extending can they really do? But yeah.
But we don't acknowledge the third one, right?
Yeah, no, I to a degree I can almost not acknowledge the second one, but
to a degree, yes.
To a degree, but
but the first one is just
first one's a cinematic masterpiece.
It is. Favorite musical artist.
Ooh, man, I like a lot. And I worked at Blossom Music Center for 10 years. So I saw a lot of artists every summer. I really like Post Malone. I really like Drake. I'm going to go off the board and it's a funk band from New Orleans.
Okay.
And it's called, and everyone write this down. It's called Trombone Shorty, Shorty.
Okay.
And Orleans, Orleans Avenue. So he like the front man, it's a New Orleans funk band. Like they got like, it's like three saxophones, guitar, a bass, a drummer. They got other drums. They got a keyboard player. And the front man, he plays trombone and trumpet. And he got his start through, he was mentored by Lenny Kravitz.
Okay.
Going back, and he played the NBA All-Star game a couple of years ago. Like when the Final Four was in New Orleans, I want to say this was like early 2010s. Like CBS like booked him to do like the little intro package and all this stuff. And he's vastly underrated, and he sells out every time he comes anywhere. He doesn't do big shows. He does like a lot of small, like he'll go House of Blues and things like that, but he sells out everywhere he goes. Wow. So yeah, go check him out. It's incredible what he does. Like his band's a stable. They'll play in the concourse at Saints games. Yeah, so that it's so cool. And like even during like COVID, like they were supposed to come out with a new album, and he ended up on COVID like doing what a lot of musicians did, and just like splicing up clips of him like he would lay the beat down for something. He would put a harmony down for something, and then he put a melody down for something. And you just see 10 bubbles of him playing his instrument or like playing drums. He's super talented. And also what he does too, like in the community, he opened a arts academy, after school arts academy for underprivileged youth in New Orleans.
Awesome.
So the stuff he does in the community, that's probably my favorite artist. So yeah, go check him out.
I like that you went off the board. Props to you.
Yeah.
The one non-Cleveland team you root for.
The one non-Cleveland team I root for. Man, that's tough. College level, pro level. I really don't feel like I have one. Okay. I used to really like the Oklahoma City Thunder when they had Durant and Westbrook.
Okay, fair enough.
I really liked them. I don't really have one, to be honest.
That's fine.
I root for the Brewers because I have a friend in the front office, a longtime friend from high school in the front office. College wise, I do root for, you know, obviously I root for Ohio State, Kent State. I do root for Notre Dame. And that's cause, you know, my grandfather got his degree there in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess college wise, I'd say Notre Dame. Don't at me.
Not adding you.
No, I'm telling people just don't at me.
Trust me. They go after multiple people with Notre Dame. So you won't be alone.
Right. But yeah, I'd say college-wise Notre Dame. Pro, I never really had one, though.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. The one team in Cleveland you want to see win a title?
The Browns.
Okay, I figured with you knowing you.
I sat through so many games as a season ticket holder of them just getting boat raced.
I get it.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I think, that's why I still think this year was so much fun. Like
it was.
You know, this year was a lot of fun, and get, you know, my wife's not from here, so she didn't 100% like. So I took her to the wild card game. Sidebar: I took her to the wild card game, Francona's first year when they played Tampa.
Yeah,
and Dad, I love you. I swiped his credit card and I bought tickets while I was, because I was a broke college kid.
Oh my God.
And he kind of looked at me. He's like, "You're an idiot, but I don't blame you. Go. And I took her. And at that time, she didn't really like, she didn't understand like why everyone kind of like, why everyone was just getting agitated that like, as Drubal Cabrera was grounding into double play. Like, she's like, it's a game. Like, why are people freaking out?
Wait, are you saying that Indian shortstops have a pandemic of grounding into double plays?
Probably, but that's for another day. But then it really, it occurred to her, like, she kind of really understood it. She always said, she goes, the 2016 finals,
mm-hmm.
She really started to get it. And then this year, she used to always have a pastime on Sundays where she knew I would watch the Browns game and she would sit there and just make fun of the Browns because of how bad they were. Oh, but then she, like, when she saw how good they were this year, she, like, it started, the light switch started to flip.
Let's go.
Yeah. And where, like, I jokingly looked over, we're watching the Chiefs game, and she was like, she like about fell out of her chair when I think it was like Chubb broke a big run. And I looked, and I was like, ah, somebody gets it now.
Yes. Took her long enough.
Yeah. It took her long enough. And, you know, but yeah, so it would definitely be the Browns though. I sat at way too many games of them losing 42-0 to, you know, and you know, the Indians, runs in the 90s. That was my childhood.
Yeah, so, same.
They'll get there at some point, I think.
They will. If you could trade places with anyone for a day, who would it be?
Anyone for a day, who would it be?
Hmm. Knowing you, the answer should be Coach Izzo.
Yeah. Well, part of me is like, oh yeah, like, you know, like one of the college coaches. I don't really know. That's a really good question.
That's why it's a rapid fire segment. Yeah, we want to get to know you a little bit.
You know, this is gonna be kind of random. I've always wanted to, I would say Coach Stefanski.
Okay.
Just because, like, I never got into coaching, but I would love to be a coach. I think that would be a lot of fun. And I see a lot of, like, how I carry myself in the, like, how I carry myself, like, you know, with my students and things like that. And just, like, you know, I'll sit by, you know, I always joke they need to make a Hard Knocks for Marching Band, because yeah, it would be some of the people don't realize the conversation that happens between educators is some of the funniest bleep you will ever hear in your life. Well, I'll stand there with like a stapled paper packet over my mouth, and I'm like looking at one of my staff members to come stand next to me, and we're just sitting here like, oh my God, I can't believe so-and-so can't hit the yard line on three. Like, I told him he can't hit it on two or four, but he got it on three. Oh, he's gonna try again. Oh, he missed again. Oh my gosh, I need a beverage. And that I see a lot of Coach Stefanski sometimes. So you know, I just stand there, calm, cool demeanor. For all we know, Coach Stefanski saying a lot of things under that mask.
Oh yeah, we'll see next year, hopefully.
Right, and you know, he's saying a lot of things under that mask. But yeah, no, I like Coach Stefanski. He and I kind of have the same demeanor.
Fair enough. Yeah. What should the Indians change their name to?
Oh boy. I don't like spiders. I'm going to say, I don't, and a lot of people roast the name. I don't think Crusaders is as bad as like either like a Crusaders or like the Guardians are as bad as people think they are.
Fair enough. I mean, I've kind of grown on Guardians a little
bit. I like a Crusaders, you know, for the alliteration or the Guardians. Like I'll be honest, I used to think all the names stunk.
I get it.
Yeah, I sold myself on the fact where I was like, you know, this is gonna, you know, nobody's gonna, whatever name they pick, nobody's gonna like it. Which is could be true, but I'd say like something like Crusaders or Guardians probably.
Okay, so we've gotten Kay to say Guardians.
Okay.
Andy said Lakesiders or Captains, because we came up with the theory of we were gonna swap the Lake County name. So
what are you gonna put Lake County as?
The Lakesiders.
Hmm.
So we tell them to give up the captain's name, give them Lakesiders.
Interesting. Okay.
Because I kind of use it because, like, again, we point out in the last episode, you know, you have the Jacksonville Shrimp. You have
I love the minor leagues because they have some of the most like woke names.
I know, right?
Like, isn't there a double A team that's like the Trash Pandas?
I'm not 100% sure. Maybe, like, I can see that.
Like,
they're trash though. I mean, come on. No, the fact that the Flying Squirrel's mascot's name is not Rocky, I'm still triggered by that. How can name isn't Rocky?
The double A affiliate of the LA Angels is the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Yes, they're trash.
And their logo, I'm looking at it right here, is a rocket ship in the shape of a garbage can with like a real mean looking raccoon. Like,
we're taking the trash to the moon.
Yeah, like I always love like those, like the minor league names, because I think minor league, that's some of the,
I love
minor
league. I miss
of, like, that's the epitome of like just like they don't really like they're just throwing bleep at a wall and seeing what sticks. Yeah, like
they're here to have fun. They're like, yeah, hey, we know we're the minors, so you want to? We're not gonna take it as seriously. We're not the big leagues. So, last question, and we end it as a joke to end every show. Favorite sandwich.
See, this is where I could get toxic and say hot dog if I wanted to.
No tacos. They're not a sandwich.
No, I was going to say hot dog.
Oh, hot dog? No, we're not counting that.
I was going to say, I was like, I could get real toxic and say hot dog.
No, we've had that tried. I think Kay tried that in the first episode.
What's funny is I literally sat there. I was like, yeah, Kay probably used that answer. Can I get suggestion? Like what are people like?
So like Andy said a BLT. I think Kay said, I'm trying to remember, I don't have the episode on my mind right now. I think we were talking about, well, not like peanut butter and jelly, but she said something else. Like it was something I never tried.
Okay.
It was a weird mix, but I thought would work.
What was the sandwich I had this year? I had a grilled cheese, and a part of it is my part-time job. Like, you know, I work in food and beverage, and you know, I had a grilled cheese with shaved prime rib in it.
Ooh.
Like it was like a grilled cheese with meat in it. And like basically a meat and cheese, a ham and cheese and things like that. But I would say a grilled cheese, man, dude, that's
cheat code. Melt is literally cheat code.
That's S tier, man. I'd probably say grilled cheese.
Yeah. Melt is just, oh my God. They're like
the catch. And my wife taught me this, and I had no idea this was a thing. You got to, and a lot of people might get turned off by this, cause I know I was till I tried it. You got to put, instead of butter on the outside of the bread, you got to do mayo. Game changer. You don't taste the mayo for those that are like hate mayo, but if you gotta put mayo on the outside of the sandwich, changes the game.
I may need to try that now. You may have just started something for me. Thanks, Pat. And that actually is everything. Is there any last parting words that you would like to instill upon our loyal listeners?
No, I appreciate you having me. Check out the Possession Arrow. I'm either gonna record an episode tonight or probably tomorrow, and then you know we got we're a week, can you believe we're a week from selection Sunday?
I know, as we're recording this, so when you guys hear it, it's going to be pretty much the week. It's so a week after, so it's gonna be after Selection Sunday. So Pat, I know you said you've got a bunch planned for that.
I'm trying to gain sleep now for the amount of like the tournament primer that I'm probably going to put out on Selection Sunday. I could easily see in that being like a 2-hour podcast.
Damn.
Look, I'm still working through the details. I'm like, all right, do I do an episode for each region? Do I do this? And then a part of me is like, you know what? No, I'm just going to throw all the regions in one.
Do it all together at once.
We're going to do it all together. We're going to burn this thing down, and we're going to get into it. And
yeah,
you know, it's interesting to see, you know, I mean, it's 7 days to Selection Sunday and yet so much could happen. We had 5 number one seeds lose their conference tournaments yesterday.
Unbelievable. It's going, it's March again.
We had 5 number one seeds. I mean, the Horizon League the other day, 4 games went to overtime. Like either we're a buzzer beater or overtime, you know, it's going to be a wild tournament, but it's a long time coming. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Like it's still odd that, you know, like the nerd in me, I think I've watched every national title game since 99, except for one. And the one I didn't watch, I had the flu. And I just couldn't stay awake for. And I'm trying to remember like which game that was.
It was a couple years ago.
No, I watched a couple years ago. I didn't watch two. I didn't watch the 2002 one with Maryland because Kent State had just gotten eliminated, and I 11-year-old me was just physically tired. So I didn't watch that. The other one I don't think I watched. I didn't watch Louisville beat Michigan.
Ah. Okay.
That was the other one I didn't watch.
Yep, I remember.
All the other ones. And it's funny, with last year, like, there was no title game. So I literally, thank God the 2019 title game was as good as it was. That was one of the best ones in a long time. Yeah. Since Villanova won on a buzzer beater.
Yeah, and kind of peel back the curtain a little bit. Pat and I, unfortunately, this year it's not going to work out, but every year Pat and I meet up for day one of the tournament. Yeah. We did not think this year was going to happen due to work stuff. And it was going to be on my end. Turns out it's going to be on Pat's end this time, which is tragic. Rip. But yeah, we'll look forward to 2022 for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
If everything holds up. I got
a lot of content coming out, and go check that out. Time of Possession. I think we're going to record another episode this week.
Awesome.
Go check that out. That's really great. Check. There's a lot of good stuff out there.
Tell everyone how they follow you.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Pat the Letter N Shaker, Possession Arrow Podcast. Search The Possession Arrow wherever you get your podcasts, and Time of Possession wherever you get your podcast at. Time of Possession.
Thank you so much, Pat, for your time today. We cannot wait to get you and Kay on as a group in the future for From the Land. In terms of updates here, by the time you guys get this episode, I haven't recorded the official announcement, but coming in April, after further review, will be finally retired. In its place will be The Top Dogs, starring myself and Jack McCurry. It's going to be a Browns podcast. I can't believe we're entering the podcast wars, but here we are. We're entering the podcast wars. Oh man, Pat's already excited about it. Jack and I are ecstatic about it. We're going to make the announcement officially in about a week or so from when we're recording this. Hopefully we'll have our logo, which it's going to be totally dope. I cannot wait. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And then in terms of these episodes, we're going to move them from the After Further Review page in time to a From the Land podcast page all its own. So all these episodes that you're hearing will eventually be on its own separate page. So when the time comes, I'll let you guys know. But make sure you are subscribed to After Further Review if you want to hear more From the Land. Our next guest on From the Land won't be for another month because we're kind of going through a lot of people very quickly. Our next guest, funny enough, will be Jack McCurry. We're going to talk to him about what he does, talk about like our plans for the Top Dogs and everything, and we cannot wait to have you guys join us for that episode.
You can ask him about the time we recorded a podcast and I got pulled over mid podcast.
Oh boy, that's
I got pulled over for talking on my cell phone mid podcast.
Oh boy, that ain't good. we will make sure to ask that question. Until next time, guys, we appreciate y'all. Stay safe out there, and we are out.